Chapter 16, Chuka's Tale. As the three squirrels hurried along, Chuka told Jed and Tsetse her tale. "I was just a pup," she said, "when my mother and my two brothers were flattened. I would have been flattened too, except that I had stopped to eat a tulip. I was still too small to reach most tulips, but this one was tiny and low to the ground. My mother kept saying, 'Hurry,' but I just couldn't help myself. I popped it into my mouth. It was so tasty. But even as I was savoring it, something huge flashed by, and Mama and Buddy..." A tear escaped from the corner of her eye. For a moment, it was a perfect crystal sphere on her cheek fur. Then she brushed it away. "Well, I have not been able to eat a tulip since," she said. "I don't need to be stupid," said Tsetse quietly, "but what is a tulip?"
"A kind of flower," said Chuka.
"Really tasty. At least that's how I remember it."
"What was it that flashed by?" asked Jed.
Chuka looked at them amused. "You haven't lived among humans, have you?" she said.
"No," said Jed.
"We see them sometimes," said Tsetse, "but they don't stay. They just pass through."
"Well, I grew up among them," said Chuka. "Our grove was in one of their colonies. It was all right most of the time. They don't actually come out of their nests all that often.
When they do, they travel inside these big..." "I don't even know how to explain them to you. Imagine a beetle that is as big as just really big. So the humans crawl inside of them, and then when they have traveled somewhere, they crawl back out, undigested. And you'd better stay out of that beetle's way."
"Because it steps on you?" asked Jed.
Chuka considered. She didn't know how to explain wheels. She didn't understand them herself.
"It would be like getting out of the way of a huge boulder rolling down a hill. You would be smashed, flattened. It happens fairly often because they move so fast, and you can't get out of their way. Then they come out of nowhere and bam!"
"Crikey," said Jed.
"It sounds scary," said Tsetse.
"So what did you do?" asked Jed.
"Who took care of you?"
"I moved into my grandfather's nest," said Chuka.
"Where was your father?" asked Tsetse gently.
"Raccoon," said Chuka matter-of-factly. "At least that's what I was told. I never knew him. But my grandfather was very kind and very wise. He taught me so much. He told me stories. He knew more than any squirrel I've ever met. Of course, he was just very old."
"Are squirrels wise because they're old?" mused Jed. "Or old because they're wise?"
"That's something you could wonder about all day," laughed Tsetse.
"Probably it works both ways."
"But even if a squirrel is very, very wise," said Chuka, "he can only get so old. As the poem goes, squirrels are fleet, and life is fleeting. Gather ye nuts and feast while yet ye may."
This sounds better in squirrel. It rhymes and it has lots of clicks.
"So my grandfather has this idea," she went on. "All his life he had wanted to see how far he could travel without touching the ground. It was because of the ancient stories that tell of how a squirrel could once travel from one edge of the world to the other. I think it can still be done," he said to me. "We might have to backtrack, look for new paths. But I would like to see the edge of the world for myself. I would like to get there without touching the ground."
"Would you like to go with your old grandfather?" he asked. He was probably growing foolish in his old age, and I was still foolish in my youth.
"Of course I went, and at first it was exciting. It is always a lark to look for a new path, to find one when none seem possible. But as we traveled, I began to notice that grandfather was faltering. There were jumps that should have been easy, but now he was barely grasping the landing. He chuckled and acted as if it was nothing, but we both knew what was happening. I tried to watch out for him. 'I'm tired,' he would say. 'Let's take the easy path,' or 'Let's stop for today.' But there was a part of him that would not, could not, give up. He really wanted to make it to the edge. I was a little afraid of it, myself. I mean, what if we fell off? What then?"
"I cannot even imagine it," said Tsetse. "My brain is not that big. Are you sure there even is an edge?"
"It's an old-fashioned idea," said Jed. "Some squirrels think the forest is endless. Some think it circles back and meets itself. But no one really knows. At least no squirrel has returned to tell us."
"Well," Chuka went on, "my grandfather wanted to find out. And one day, he thought he had found it. The edge. and it really did look as if we had. He crept out to the end of the last branch. He waved goodbye, then he stepped off into the fog. I waited there for a long time, she said, overnight and into the next day. The fog lifted and I could see, far below, a river. There was more world on the other side of it. This wasn't the edge, but for my grandfather, for one way or another, was gone. By this time, we had journeyed far from our home. We had taken many winding paths. I backed away from the edge and turned around, but I did not know how to find my way home. Eventually, I settled, so that is why I am solitary. But, she said, the story you told of the shredding and scattering, it's a story my grandfather told me. He had seen it too. That's why I listened, to the other squirrel and to you. That's why I came along. A good story makes a journey go by more quickly. A really good story makes you forget you were even on a journey. You don't notice the cold, wet winds that spatter your fur with silver droplets. You don't realize when you step from one branch to another, or even that your feet are moving. You stop noticing, with all of your senses, the things that you really ought to notice. What sort of things? If you are a squirrel, there are so many things to watch out for. The kind that rumbles in the distance. The kind that flows stealthily downwards and licks its chops when you pause. The kind that is a dead branch that has been holding to its tree by a few fibrous strands, then fewer strands, then one strand, and then that one strand breaks and the branches fall through there above you and watch out! The kind where vapor freezes in the clouds into small roundish masses of ice that fall, and suddenly, instead of drops of rain or even snow, icy balls the size of walnuts are pelting your pelt. That's the kind that's happening now. The hungry fox, who had been following the squirrels from below, flinched as his pelt was pelted with ice balls. He forgot his focus on food and scrambled for shelter in a lean-to formed by fallen furs. The squirrels, too, ducked and raced for cover from the hailstones. Jed and Chucky flattened themselves against what they had hoped was the safer side of the tree trunk. Then they heard Tsetse shout, "Up! Here! Up here!" They looked up and saw her poking out from a hollow in the tree. Quickly, they climbed up and crawled in beside her. Together, they watched the wintry mix of drops and flakes and hailstones fly willy-nilly down from the heavens. It was a good time to stay put. It was a lousy time to try and convince anyone to move. They didn't even want to move their own selves out of the small shelter they had found. The view outside the knot hole was the opposite of a fireplace, but just as hypnotic. Huddled together for warmth, they watched the storm rage, transfixed. The light of day, already dimmed by the thick, heavy clouds, faded further to black. The wild song of the wind, muffled by the curved walls around them, lullabied the three squirrels into sleep.